An assistant professor of geography at the University of New Hampshire read a New York Times story on the Los Angeles River recently and recognized in it facts from a book about the river that he had written. Now, reporters often borrow facts and story ideas, and in this case, the Times reporter, Charlie LaDuff, had independently checked the facts. It was just that he didn't say they first came from the book. When the professor complained, the New York Times, arguably the country's most influential paper, formally adopted a new policy. That policy could change journalism and make a lot of trouble if it's picked up by everyone. No more taking other people's ideas without attribution. For a discussion about giving credit where it's due, Day to Day's Mike Pesca spoke with Slate press critic Jack Schaefer.
Traditionally, the Times has always felt if there's a plane crash, if there's a political story, as long as their reporters got there and personally verified all the accounts and facts that have been in the news previously, they didn't really have to credit anybody. Starting about 15 years ago, during the tenure of executive editor Joe Lilienfeld at the New York Times, that started to change. I think that there's been sort of a melting of the ice at the New York Times, and it's been more willing to cite other publications.
Well, what about other news organizations? Do they give credit where credit's due? I know in radio and TV, we have much less time than a long newspaper article, so sometimes we have to leave that out for time purposes. How do other newspapers compare?
But newspapers would say the same thing. We only have so many column inches. NPR should probably be more generous in citing other publications. I mean, when I listen to NPR news in the morning, I many times feel as though I'm listening to somebody read the headlines from the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal. I mean, that there's not enough time is not a very good excuse. It seems to me that either you attribute it or you do some original reporting. I think there's one or the other.
But is what LaDuff did plagiarism, per se?
Plagiarism is passing off anybody else's ideas or words as their own. What LaDuff did is he never really lists any specific passage or string of 19 or 20 words. He's probably closer to committing the sin of mosaic plagiarism, arranging the facts that appear in another man's work artfully in his own fashion, but identifiably picking out, you know, little bits of this and that and the other in his thousand words to sort of create a composite, which comes close to plagiarism, I think.
Because of the importance of the New York Times, do you think we're going to see this more generous standard adopted by other media sources?
I think not so much because of the New York Times, but maybe because of the Internet. What's very interesting about the Internet is that it readers are able to sort of assemble a sort of group mind. And when they look at news stories, when they look at NPR coverage, when they look at coverage in Slate, they will pop up in blogs or otherwise organize and say, hey, do you see the similarities between what Joe Smith wrote and what John Doe wrote over here? So I think that the changing policy will not be publications following the New York Times. I think that it will be publications looking over their shoulders and seeing that readers who used to be isolated and really couldn't build any sort of campaign to allege plagiarism or heavy lifting of somebody else's work, you know, that now exists in the form of the Internet. And I think that's what will make publications more willing to give attribution.
Jack Schaefer writes the Press Box column for Slate. Thanks a lot, Jack.
Thank you.
That interview by Day to Day's Mike Pesca. Day to Day is a production of NPR News and Slate.com. I'm Alex Chadwick.